We are so happy you're here at the One Conference, our very first four campus conference. I'd like to introduce my wonderful husband, Quincy. The purpose of this conference is to get to know each other, so we're going to take just 1 minute, say 1 minute.
1 minute.
Find somebody near you that you don't know.
And you're going to introduce yourself and tell them what you do and your sign. Oh, what do you do at your campus? Excuse me. I had one job. What do you do at your campus and introduce yourself? Go ahead. Let's get it done. Good morning.
In our families.
What's your sign, Quincy? My sign is Jackhammer. All right, amen. Be seated, everyone. Thank you. We're going to have a lot of fun together at this conference. If you are thinking this might be a boring conference, forget about it. We're going to have a great time. Lots of conversation. We're going to have a beautiful meal here in the afternoon. We're going to have times of connecting together in smaller groups, conversations based on the messages that you hear. So we're going to get to know each other in community groups. And I am so thrilled that all of you are here from all of our cities. I know we have at least four cities. And we have a very special guest here from Mexico. I'm looking for my Mexico delegation. Where are you? Stand up, Pastor David and Rosie from Ejido Jalapa and their family, pastoring a beautiful church that we planted only 40 years ago, right? Is that 40 or 50? 50 next year. The anniversary is next April, and I'm gonna go. Anybody want to go to Mexico next April? We're going to go. All right. I'm not talking about the beach, though. This is a little different part. All right. A little different part. Amen. It's so great to be together. In just a minute, I'm going to bring up our guest speaker. But Kathy, come up here and join me. I want Kathy. Please welcome my beautiful wife, Kathy. We want to say a word or two about what's going to be happening and really what the purpose is. Now, more people are going to be joining us as the conference unfolds. So we're going to have a lot of great sessions today. And then tonight, more and more people will be here, and it's going to be amazing. And it continues through tomorrow noon. So please be on hand for as much of that as you can. We're going to have a great time. But really, this is our chance as a church family where every person is important, every person is connected, everyone is a part of this vision for us to really become one. Because what God has done is He has brought together four cities, and for the first time, really for the first time in history, all four of our cities are in the same room. So we are excited about that. It is truly one. And we are excited because there's a promise that God makes to us when we are one. And I want to read this verse to you. And it says, this is from Genesis chapter 11. It says, the Lord said, they are one people. Read this with me. As a matter of fact, let's read it together. The Lord said, they are one people with one language. This is only the beginning of what they will do. Now, nothing that they plan to do will be too difficult for them. Do you believe that? Think about the power of oneness. By ourselves, we can't get much done. But I tell you, when we come together as one, and it really becomes real, not just, hey, we have the same name, but really, actually, heart and soul, we become part of one another's lives. It's amazing, and God wants to use every one of us to do amazing things, and I believe that this will be the time where we will look back and say, this was the moment, this was only the beginning, this was only the beginning of what they began to do. Amen. Kathy, say hello to everybody. And
hello, everybody. I only do what he tells me to do.
Yeah. For those of you that know me, you know that I only do. Sometimes we joke around with each other, and he says, "Now I want to do you to do exactly what I tell you to do." So, you know I always do 99% of everything that you tell me to do. No, I know that it's true that the anointing flows down from the top, and if I flow with the top, then I'm going to be anointed. So I just got some points. Yeah. I just got some points, right? So the scripture that God dropped in my heart this morning is for all of you, but especially for women. Because how many of you know we can't get anything done unless the women are behind us, right? And so I, you know, don't have the fancy scripture like my husband has up there on the board, but how many of you know that we're in the last days? And didn't God say, you're all familiar with this scripture, I am going to pour out my spirit on all flesh in the last days, on my sons and daughters. They are going to prophesy. And so, ladies, God wants you to prophesy over what is happening here today, what is happening in the lives of your family. He's got to use, there's not one mama, not one auntie, not one daughter, not one sister that's going to be left out. We are all going to, God is going to use this thing that we love to use as women. He is going to use this for his glory. And we are going to prophesy over this generation, over this nation, over this city, over our cities. We are going to prophesy the word of the Lord, and God is going to pour it out through us. So if you're thinking that you're going to sit on the sideline and that you're just going to be sitting in the back seat, being a back seat driver, that's not how it's going to work. You're going to be sitting in the front seat. And God is going to use you in a mighty, mighty way. And so don't think, well, you know, I'm just nothing. I'm insignificant. You know, God, you know, how could you use me? I just have like a little tiny gift. No, God is going to use this for you to speak his word and bring healing into the lives of the people that are around you.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, stay right here. We're just going to pray. We're going to pray over this conference as we begin and all those that are still coming. Father, we thank you for this time to gather together. We thank you, Lord, that where two or three are gathered, there Jesus is in the midst of them. And Jesus, we welcome you. Holy Spirit, we honor you in this time. And I thank you, Lord, for each life that's here and for the purpose and calling and potential that is in each and every one of our lives, Lord. And Lord, I thank you that you're going to connect us in the kingdom, Lord, for an explosive result. So, Lord, we give you this time. We ask you to show us our place and our calling. Show us our dream and our vision that you're giving to each of us, Lord. Let this be a time, Lord, that we look back and say, that was the day when everything began to change. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his glory. And everyone said, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Thank you, honey. I'm going to introduce our special guest. I met Justin Manzi in Abbotsford, British Columbia. And we're going to start with Justin. I'm going to teach a little bit later in the morning and then some tonight. Later today, Mary Alice Islib is going to join us. So we're going to have a lot of fresh voices and a few familiar voices. But I wanted to start with Justin because he brings something very special. Not only is he very closely connected to our tribe, he's of a very similar DNA, very strong in the prophetic, but he's a father and a pastor and a church planter, and he's coming alongside our multi-site campus movement to equip us in the area of health and focus. I want us to grow, but I want us to be healthy. Can I have an amen? So let me tell you just a little bit about Justin before he comes. He's been a church planter, senior pastor, author, and international speaker. He's been working with churches and leaders all over the world. He's the executive director of Latitude Ministries, where for the last 2 years he's helped 35 congregations and coached over 3,800 pastors and leaders in North America and multiple nations all over the world. He'll be bringing to us the rich resources of NCD, Natural Church Development, to our four campuses, and he will be equipping all of us in the area of what it looks like to be a healthy church. So we're going to start with health. Everyone say health. Please welcome Pastor Justin Manzi. Justin, come on.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, it is a pleasure to be here, and it is a pleasure to get to know Pastor David and Kathy. What a great pastor and pastor, I mean, two pastors that are amazing gifts to this body. You are blessed. They've been so hospitable to me, and God has done a great work in this movement, but God's about to do a greater work in this movement. Amen? Amen? So I'm excited to be here this morning. I'm a little bit under the weather, but I believe in healing. So believe with me as we go forth today and this morning we kick this off, the One Conference. I believe that God is going to do some opening of our hearts today. But I want to give you a little bit of an introduction to where I come from so that you get a point of reference that I didn't just grow up in a local church. I didn't grow up in a church family. I put in here that I didn't have a family tree. I had a family weed. Some people have a family tree. We have a family weed. And my mother was married three times. My biological mother was married three times. My biological father, to my knowledge, was married three times, but he says possibly five times. I'm not quite sure about that. Between the two of them, they had seven children. I grew up in a broken home. I grew up in a very broken, broken home. My biological father, I went and I actually did his funeral 4 years ago. They found him on the street. And he was a homeless man and a crack addict. And they found him right outside a sidewalk, right outside a men's shelter. And that was the legacy of my biological father, a homeless man and a crack addict. I want that to settle just for a moment. Because sometimes we realize that it's not where we come from. It's where we're going. It's not who we come from. It's whose we are. And so I grew up in a broken home, a broken family, a broken heart. Because hurting people hurt people. Right? Hurting people hurt people, but loving people love people. Restored people restore people. And so I grew up where I was a rejected son, rejected by my biological father, who just simply asked for, if you give me, while he was in prison when I was just a baby, said, give me $250 or I'll give you $250 if you leave me alone, and I'll give all rights to somebody else for this boy. So I then was adopted by my stepfather, who was a broken man himself, a hurting man, been through a lot of pain. And so hurting people hurt people, broken people break people. Did you hear me? Broken people break people, but restored people restore people. Yesterday, I shared some of this with the leaders, but I want you to know that when I was 5 years old, my sister, who was eight at the time, who was being raped and molested by an older stepbrother, came to me and said, I want you to know, because hurting people hurt people, told me, nobody wants you. Nobody cares about you. You will never have a father that loves you and cares for you. You are a throwaway child. Nobody wants you. Nobody cares about you. You will never have a father that loves you. You will never have a father that protects you. You will never have a father that provides for you. Nobody wants you. I was 5 years old. And that came into understanding of why I was being physically abused, emotionally abused, and I was told I was not wanted. That was a real experience. But when I was 5 years old, how many know that God is still on the throne, and he's still working in people's lives, and the Holy Spirit is still very much alive even before you come to know who Jesus is. The Holy Spirit works and moves in people's lives. I was 5 years old. I was in Sherburn, Minnesota. and a little farmyard, and I walked outside on the farmyard, and I don't know why. I believe it was the Spirit of God pressing me and drawing me. But I simply walked out in this farmyard. I raised up my hands and I just said, God, I don't know who my father is. Will you be my father? And at that moment, I felt the presence of God come around me, literally as if somebody was holding me from behind. I could literally feel somebody holding me. I felt held. And I heard an internal audible voice that said, from this day forward, I shall surely be your father. And I knew at that moment that God was real. I knew that he loved me. And I knew that he was my father. Amen? At that moment, I became, out of having a family, coming from a family weed, to a family tree. And God's tree is wonderful. Amen? There's a lot of fruits and nuts on it, but it's still his tree. Come on. I went from a rejected son to an accepted son. That's powerful. Now, I got radically saved when I was 18 years old in a dojo, a place where you practice Taekwondo. I'm not going to get too much into this because I want time to share with you, but I got radically saved in a dojo, a place where you practice Taekwondo. I'm a first degree black belt. I know it doesn't look like it now, but I used to be really healthy. I'm telling you. Man, I was healthy. I want to show you a quick picture of my family here. This is my beautiful family that I've been married to my wife, Kim, for 25 years. That's a miracle in my family. Let me just put it that way. That's a miracle in my family. My wife, Kim, and then my daughter, Janelle, she's going to be 23. She's actually going to Portland Bible College to be a worship leader. She's in her second year there. And that's my beautiful son, Jared. He's 20 years old, and my son has autism. And this has been a great journey for us and walking with my family. But this, my family has been something that I never had. Did you hear me? I grew up in a war zone. I grew up in a violent home. I grew up where there was abuse and anger and alcohol. And I was physically kicked out of my house at the age of 17. And when I say physically kicked out, I mean physically kicked and punched out of my house and told to change my last name back to Swenson because my stepfather never wanted me in the first place. So at the age of 17, I was physically kicked out of my house. But when I was 18, I actually, on that journey, I had my top instructor. His name was Milton Lang. He was a little person. And his nickname was Sweet and Low. That was his nickname, Sweet and Low. And Sweet and Low, one day after I'd been going there for years, I was a first degree black belt. I was an instructor. One day I just simply came into the dojo and I said to him, how are you doing? He said, well, how are you doing? And at that moment, out of a slang, I was being a smart aleck, I was rejected, I was hurted. So you always put that armor up to protect yourself, to be tough. I said, oh, I need Jesus. And he said, you do need Jesus. I was like, what? He said, you do need Jesus. Well, I didn't know that this man was a spirit-filled, born-again Christian. Even though for 2.5 to 3 years, he just loved me where I was at. He just accepted me just as I was. Isn't that what God does? He loves you. Everyone is welcome. And God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you the way you are. Amen? But he loved me just that way, and simply one day he saw a moment to capture. He saw that trust had been built between him and I, and he simply said to me, you need Jesus. And I was like, I do. Now, remember, I had that experience when I was 5, but I had never heard the gospel before. So at that moment, he shared the gospel with me for the very first time. And at that moment, in this little office in a dojo, I accepted Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. And when I walked out of that dojo, I walked out of the sidewalk, I looked up the sky, and I said, I mean it. I give you my life. God, you said you'd be my Father, and I receive all that you have. And at that moment, I knew that I knew. From that day forward, my life belonged to him. It no longer belonged to me. Now, why do I share that story? Because I want you to know that that day the church worked. That day the church was vibrant and healthy and working. Well, you weren't even in a building. That's exactly right. The church was out in its community doing what it was designed to do and reach the lost and reach the hurting and restore the hurting. The church was vibrant that day. The church reached out and plucked up a young man who was rejected, hurting, broken, with a broken heart and a broken life, and said, I know a God who can restore and heal and push you on solid ground. I believe in the health of the church because when the church is healthy, it does what it was designed to do, and that is reach the lost and restore the hurting. Amen? I believe even right now that we talk about one heart, one culture, one family. We're talking about being, what does it mean to be one? Well, if you want to have one heart, we all have to know the Father's heart. Amen? And the Father's heart is that he loves us with an everlasting love to build us and rebuild us. To understand when we say one culture, we have to understand when we say your kingdom come, your will be done. When we say kingdom, it means culture. Kingdom means culture. And we say, let your kingdom come. We're saying, let your culture that is in heaven be down here on earth as it is in heaven. The same language, the same music, the same principles, the same values. That is the culture of heaven. Amen? And we want the culture of heaven to invade the culture of this age. Because there's nothing stronger than culture. Nothing except a stronger culture. Amen? So we're believing that we're going to know the Father's heart. We're going to know his kingdom, his culture that is in heaven. And we want to be a part of his family. And we're all one family. Amen? And so when we talk about one today, we're talking about we want to take the church from an institution to personal experiences. Amen? We might come to a service, but we're trained to go do service. Where the church is alive and vibrant. I want you to say, I am the church. You are the church. And when you're out being the church, not out doing, out being the church, you will see God's hand. Amen? I believe this so strongly. And when we understand that when the Spirit of God works, powerful things take place. Let me just show you some stats. I have some stats of what the church is happening right now. It's 3,500 people are leaving the church every day in the United States. 1,500, I thought there was a power slide for that, but 1,500 to 1,700 pastors are leaving the ministry every month. The three top reasons why pastors are leaving the ministry: spiritual burnout, they feel ill-equipped to lead churches, or moral failure are the top three. 3,500 people are leaving the church every day. Every day. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Well, what's happening? So we have to recognize what does the Lord say what a healthy church is? What am I supposed to be as a healthy person? In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, it says, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Here's what this verse is saying. You belong. You belong. You fit perfectly into this body. Oh, I don't know. I'm messed up. Yeah, we're all messed up. Well, I'm dysfunctional. Well, put some fun in that dysfunctional. Do something. There is nobody here that does not have some kind of dysfunction. Well, I have a disability. You have some availability. Come on. Stop looking at it in a way of saying, well, I have this. You know what? You can always talk yourself out of God being working in you and working through you. I'm not smart enough. Well, he's not looking for, I got nothing. You know what? Those are the exact ingredients that God needs, and actually do something. Because he created the whole universe out of nothing. So those are the exact ingredients that God needs to do something. Oh, I got nothing in my marriage. I got nothing for ministry. That's the exact ingredients that God needs. Put them in his hand and watch what he can do with nothing. Well, what did he do with a couple loaves and a couple fish? He created a whole meal for a whole lot of people. Well, I got this little bit. Well, put it in God's hand and watch what he can do with nothing. I'm a living testimony of that. I'm telling you the truth. I come from nothing and nowhere. And when you decide to seek God with all of your heart and want to know him and make him known, you will watch what God will do through his sons and daughters. And you are his son and you are his daughter. And when we look at this right now, you fit together perfectly. That means diversity works in unity. Well, that person is the opposite. I don't think that way. Well, it's a good thing you don't think that way. I don't feel that way. That's okay. We need diversity working in unity. We have to get away from these churches that are all a bunch of noses. You know, I'm a nose. I like the smell. You know, I just feel like this is not my tribe. I like the smell. So you start a church with a bunch of noses, and all you do is smell all the bad stuff in people's life. Oh, I'm an eye. I like to see. I'm a seer. I like to see. So I'm gonna have a church just with all eyes, and all you do is see things on each other. I see this now. I see that. Well, I see this. Well, I see that. I had a guy come up to me years ago, and he could probably come up to me today and say the same thing. He said, I perceive that you have some insecurity and you deal with pride. I'm like, that's not prophetic. I could have told you that. That's all you see? Let me show you something. You think you saw a mess? You haven't even seen inside of me yet. People go, well, I'm just waiting for God to make me better and make me perfect. Well, when that happens, you're going to be in heaven looking around what kind of ministry you're going to have. And your ministry is now done. I feel like God's given me a healing ministry. I'm just waiting on the Lord. Well, now you're in heaven. There's no one to heal. You finally arrived, but there's no healing ministry for you. I feel like the Lord's given me a ministry of encouragement. I'm dead. Oh, I'm in heaven. Oh, I'm just going to encourage me. It's done. Too late. We restore people as we're being restored. Just be honest with your brokenness when you're helping broken people. Don't tell them you're fixed and perfect when you're not. Just say, hey, I got some scars. Let me show you. You belong. And you have a part to play. It says in verse 16 here, as each part does its own. Come on, say own. Own special work. You have a special work. No one else can do your work. Listen to this. It says it helps when you're doing your special. It helps other parts grow. You know what that says? When you're not doing what you were called to do, you are hindering other people from growing. You're actually being a barrier in somebody else's life. You think, well, if I don't do my part, it's only on me. No, it's on everybody else you're supposed to touch. You have a part to play. Listen to this. So that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. You belong. You have a part to play. And you are called to help others grow in this journey. Here are the three questions that in everyone in your life that you are actually going to help answer. There are only three questions in the world when it comes to spirituality. Only three. There might be hundreds of different religions out there and expressions of Eastern religion, whatever, but it comes down to three simple questions that you are helping people answer, and maybe you're trying to answer yourself, for yourself. But the three questions are, who is God? Truly, who is God? Not who we are trying to make God, because so many people make God in their image when God says, you don't make me in your image, I make you in my image. There's a big difference. God doesn't want to be a part of your life. He wants to be your life. He's not trying to make a better you. He's trying to make a brand new you. So who is God? That is something we have to discover. Who is our Father? Who is Jesus? Who is the Holy Spirit? Truly, who are they? Who are they? And the second question is simply, who am I? Truly, who am I? Taking off the facade, taking off the armor we put on to protect ourselves, who are you? What is your personality? What are your gifts? What are your ministry? What are your callings? Who are you? Put down your guard and just simply say, who am I? And here's the deal. When we get a revelation of who Jesus is, Jesus gives us a revelation of who we are. Amen? It's true. I mean, isn't that what he said to his disciples? Who do they say I am? Oh, some say you're a prophet. Some say Jeremiah. Some say Elijah. Who do you say that I am? Peter said, you are the Messiah, the anointed one. You are Christ. Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father has revealed this to you. Now let me tell you who you are, Peter. Now that you got that revelation, let me give you a revelation of who you are. You are Peter, Petra, rock. And on that rock, I'm gonna build my church. Wow. I'm gonna build my church on you, Peter. Just go with me for a moment. Jesus is trying to build his church on you. You are the rock. You are a stone. Oh, I'm just a pebble. Well, that's what Petra means, actually. So just go with it. You are the pebble that God is building his church on. But it's going to be a great pebble. Amen? And why am I here? Why am I here? These three questions everyone is asking out in this generation. Who is God? Who am I? And why am I here? We help answer that question by living out the answer. Amen? Healthy churches are all about healthy people. Healthy churches are all about healthy people. 4 years ago, my wife was the healthiest she'd ever been. She was exercising, she was doing a lot of health. She just said, I'm gonna get healthy. I just feel like this is the season for me. I'm gonna get healthy. She'd lost a lot of weight. She was super healthy. She went to a yearly checkup and she's like, I feel the best I've ever felt in my life. She went to the doctor and we found out she had cancer. The healthiest part of what she felt, I'm the healthiest I've ever been. And at that moment, she went to a doctor and got a diagnosis that she had cancer. That's scary. But in that, because we got a diagnosis of what the area and the issue was, and we went through the process of healing and all the things that you do, today my wife is cancer-free. Amen? But on the outside, she looked healthy. But on the inside, there were some things that were trying to kill her, some radical cells that were trying to kill her. I ask you, are there things that are in our life that are like a spiritual cancer that we say, oh, I feel really good, but we really recognize what are those things that are in our church or in me that are radical cells that are actually trying to kill the very thing that God wants to bring to life? Are you really willing to open up and say, am I healthy? Are we healthy? Because a healthy church is full of healthy people, and healthy people have healthy heads, healthy hearts, and healthy hands. Right? You have, when you talk about a healthy church, we're talking about people. So do the people have healthy hearts, healthy heads? So is it a knowledge? Is it knowledge that we need to get healthy in? Is it a revelation? Is it a heart issue? Are there things in our heart that we need to deal with? Or is there, we just don't know what to do. We don't know what to do or how to do. Is it an action? Well, part of this conference is we want to answer those questions. We want us to grow in knowledge of Christ. We want to grow in the character of Christ. We want to grow in the power of Christ. Amen? Character is a heart issue. Knowledge is a head issue. But we need to know that the Holy Spirit wants to empower us to do what we're unable to do on our own. Amen? That's an action. So when we look at this, you're creating a movement to understand your starting point. What is our starting point? What does God want to do? Where does he want to take us? I have a picture of a bridge. I shared this yesterday, but is there a picture of a bridge that you can just throw up there? I don't know if it's the next slide or not. There. I want you to see this picture. I showed it yesterday to the staff as well, but look at this picture. What do you see right now? It's in the wrong place. Is it a bridge, though? But the problem is it's not doing what? It's not doing its job. It's not doing what it's designed to do. This is a real bridge. It's in Honduras. It was a gift built by the Japanese and given to Honduras. And in 1998, Hurricane Mitch, a Category 5 hurricane, hit this nation, and it destroyed every single bridge, 150 bridges, except this bridge is the only one that wasn't destroyed. But the hurricane was so strong that it moved the river over. It actually moved the river over. And today, if you Google it, this is called the Bridge to Nowhere. The Bridge to Nowhere. I don't want us to become the church to nowhere. Oh, we're a church. We look at us, we're a church. That's a bridge. But it's not doing what it was designed to do. It's helping people to come out of darkness into the kingdom of light. It's also helping the kingdom of light to come into the kingdom of darkness. Amen? A bridge, you can go both ways. Now look at this. The church, the bridge can get mad at the water and say, oh, you just need to get back under us. We were here. You come here. We were relevant at one day. We used to be very relevant. And I'm telling you, we were helping. We did our job. We were doing our job. You just get back under us. We're mad at that water. Look at that water. You might even get people that start digging little canals. Get that water back underneath us. I'm mad at that water. How dare that water? Go over there when we're right here. Think about it. Let's not be the church to nowhere. We're relevant. We're strong. No, you're strong but not relevant, my friend, because no one's crossing you. Now listen, let's make it a little bit more personal. Your story is a bridge. Are you sharing your story? Or is it a story to nowhere? What about you? At the end of the day, it's your story. I've actually thought of a new way of doing evangelism. I went to EE Explosion. I was a trainer. But I realized that people's stories are powerful. So when I would go to my neighbors, instead of just sharing my story right away, I would simply just say, I've seen many of my neighbors come to the Lord just because of a natural little conversation. I just go up to them and say, hey, tell me your story. They're not a Christian, but they have an incredible story. And I have seen so many times, I just simply say, hey, what's your story? And they begin to share their story. And here's the deal. Some of those stories are going to be rated R. You can't go, oh my God, are you what? Unbottled. Oh, okay. La, 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 la. I'm a Christian. Don't ask somebody's story if you don't want to hear it. And there's some rated R parts in that story. You listen, you ask questions. And as they're telling their story, they're looking at you to say, looking to see if you're still okay with their story. And what you don't realize is that they're actually saying to themselves, can I trust this person? And are they really caring about my story? Before you know it, their story is building a bridge to your heart. And once that story builds a bridge to your heart, they may say to you, what's your story? Oh, I'm so glad you asked. But in 3 minutes or 4 minutes, don't tell them the novel series of your testimony. Tell them in 4 minutes, this is what my life was before Christ. This is how I came to Christ. And this is what Christ is still doing in my life. I haven't arrived, but I'm on a journey. And they go, wow, that sounds like there's hope. Yes, Yes, it is. Your story has impact. And you might have some bad chapters, but allow God to rewrite those chapters. Some chapters he might just take out, you know what I'm saying? You know, just rip that chapter right out. Let's just get rid of that chapter, you know. But your story matters. And that's why we used to say, protect your testimony, protect your testimony. Well, that seems so religious. Just protect your story, because your story has power and impact. It's a bridge for other people. And it doesn't have to be a perfect bridge. It just has to be a story that's relevant, authentic, and real. You are a bridge. Are you a bridge to nowhere? Are you a bridge where you can take people that are in darkness and bring them to light, or where the Spirit of God can cross over your story into darkness? I always say there's two conversions. You're converted out of darkness into the light, and then you're trained up, and then you're converted from the light to take it, the light back to the darkness. Two conversions. I'm converted out of it, trained up and empowered, and I'm converted to go back into it and be light and salt. Amen? So I want you to see that, as we already said, Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 simply says, I will build my church. That means I'm going to build my people. I'm going to build my people. That means God's going to build you. He's building you. Jeremiah 31:3 says he loves you with an everlasting love to build you and rebuild you. When we say build the church, we're talking about you. You are the church. He's going to build you. And the gates of hell are not going to prevail against you. Wow. But he wants a healthy you. He wants you to know that we are actually in this with him. Amen? How many of you know that without Jesus, we cannot build this church? Right? But Jesus won't do it without us. Did you hear me? You have just as big a part in that. Jesus won't do it without you. You can't do it without him. So when we look at this, I want you to see that I want to introduce one of the first health principles that we're talking about today, and it's the all by itself principle. I share this with your leaders, but I want you to see this. The all by itself principle is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. You have a job to plant a seed. You have a job. We plant that seed, and when we plant it, we give hope. We give truth into the hearts of people. And then we water it, we encourage, and we bless. And then God makes it grow. Mark chapter 4, verse 26 through 29 says, Jesus also said, the kingdom of God is like a farmer. Who's the farmer in this parable? Who's the farmer? Say, I am. Who's the farmer? Huh? Who's the farmer? Okay, good job. You guys got that right away. Okay, the kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters the seed on the ground night and day while he's asleep or awake. The seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. The earth produces the crops on its own, all by itself. First the leaf blade comes up, then the hands of the wheat are formed, and finally the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer, who's the farmer? Good job. The farmer comes and harvests with a sickle with the harvest time, for the harvest time has come. Sam, come up here really quickly. I want you to see this. We are called to do three things. What are we called to do? Plant seeds, water seeds, harvest it. What does God do? He makes it grow. Come up here, Sam. I want you to see this. Most people go, when we say, what are you harvesting? The evangelical quick answer is, well, souls, of course. It's like, well, really? How do you harvest a soul? When you harvest corn, we all get the benefit from it, don't we? Now think about this. We are actually called to sow seeds. Sow seeds. You can sow them here. This is the hardest ground. Oh, my goodness. You sow seed here, boom, hard. Hardest ground in the world, right here. This is the most dangerous place. All the emotions, you plant seed in the heart, and it's the seed of the emotion. All the snares of life and all the things, they choke out the seed. Blah! Right? But if you can sow some seed into good soil, it's right here in their spirit. It's got the best soil. So you want to plant seeds into the soil of the spirit. You're going to get your best return on that. Amen? Now listen to this. We plant seeds, we water seeds, but we are called to harvest. Harvest, harvest. What are we harvesting? Three things: gifts, ministries, and callings. Think about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 4 through 6 says that every person has gifts, ministries, and callings. Every person. There's no one exempt from that. There are no spare parts in the kingdom of God. Amen? So every person, 1 Peter 4:10 says that everyone has at least one spiritual gift. There are people that have natural gifts. Every person has a ministry. Every person will function in some sort of a calling. Ephesians 4:11, apostle, prophet, pastor, shepherd, teacher, evangelist. One of those you will function in. Oh no, those are just big high. No, you will function. So what happens, every person. So my job is to sow seed into Sam and to water it by praying and encouraging him. But my real job is, because God's going to make that grow. Amen? I can't make that grow. But he makes it grow. But I harvest. How do I harvest it? I recognize the gifts and the ministries and the callings inside of him. And I recruit him and say, Sam, there is gifts and ministries and callings inside of you. There's a ministry. You're called to do it. God bless you. Hallelujah. Go do it. Right? Thanks, Sam. So my job here is that inside of you, I want you to see this. You have gifts, ministries, and callings. You do. You're the church. We're here to mobilize you to do the work of the ministry. Well, I'm here just to support the ministry. That's great. Then do your job. We all have work to do. We all have a special work to do. Amen? So we look at this. I want us just to jump to the eight quality characteristics. So that's that slide that has the eight. So in a healthy church, there are eight areas. Don't get scared on this. There are eight areas that healthy churches that are active. And it's these eight right here: empowering leadership, gift-based ministry, passionate spirituality. Yeah, take a picture of it. It's a lot better. Okay, effective structures, inspiring worship service, holistic small groups, need-oriented evangelism, loving relationships. The key is the adjective. Every church has leadership. It could be horrible leadership. Every church has ministry, but is it just program-based ministry? What kind of structures do you have? You might have structures, but are they effective? I want you to see this, because in order to be a healthy church, we have to be healthy in all eight of these areas. We say, well, we like six of those. Well, you can't drive on six cylinders in an eight-cylinder vehicle. You can't say, well, every person, I don't know if we have any nurses or doctors here, but so don't get mad at me if I don't get this correct. But every person has between 10 or 12 systems in your body. You have your digestive system, you have your muscular system. How many know what I'm talking about? Now, some say 10, some say 12. Don't get mad at me. Just listen to my example. Here's what I'm going to say to you. You can't say, well, I like eight of those systems, but the other ones I just don't like. They kind of annoy me. Your body will break down. It will be unable to do what it's been called to do. Amen? So these are the eight quality characteristics. And if we could raise the quality in these eight, the church will grow all by itself. If we play our part, God will play his part. Your job is not to grow people or actually grow the church. That's God's job. Don't do God's job. He can do it way better than you. But he's not going to play your part. So he says, you have to sow the seed, you have to water the seed, you have to harvest. I'll play my part, I'll make it grow, but you have to harvest. Amen? So we have a part to play, and only God can bring life and growth. That is the all by itself principle. In other words, the all by itself principle is simply, you have a part to play and God has a part to play. Your part is to do three things. What are they? Plant, sow, plant, water, and harvest. What's God's part? What are you harvesting? Gifts, ministries, callings. That means that has to be harvested out of you if it hasn't been. Amen? Now, here's what I want you to see. If you have a minimum factor in this area, you can say, well, we're doing really good. But you can find out we're actually able, the ministry that I have, we are actually able to measure the health of a church in the 8 quality characteristics. So imagine these are like the 8 staves in your church. Okay, so you have healthy, we have empowering leadership, passion, spirituality, gift-based ministry. Do you see that right there? Can you come up here again, Sam? Please, you're such a good helper. Just come up here and hold this for me. So imagine right now that this is like your church, and these high areas you're doing good in, but these are low areas. So let's just say maybe it's effective structures, it's lower. Maybe in another area, it's a little bit lower, but you have some high areas and passionate spirituality or inspiring worship. Those are higher ones. But you're going to imagine right now that this is your church, okay? Yeah. This is your church, and the water represents your attendance. So people are coming to your church and coming to your church, coming to your church, coming to your church, and then pretty soon people are leaving your church. So all of a sudden, you go, I don't know what, we've kind of plateaued, I don't know what's wrong, and people keep coming, but they keep leaving. So and yet that's not enough because people are still coming. Yeah, you get imbalanced. Yeah, that's right. The reality is that people are coming to your church, but they're still leaving. You're saying, but we're doing so good, inspiring worship. We're so passionate about God. Yeah, but your effective structures is where everybody's leaving. So if you could raise that area, your church will grow all by itself. Right? Yeah, raising the area. Did you raise it? All right. There. Yeah, that's right. If you raise that area, and it keeps growing, so but it still comes out, so you got to keep raising it. But what I want you to see here, this is also your life. If there's an area in your life that God wants to work on, you're saying, well, I'm doing really good in these 3 areas. That's great. But he wants to raise the quality of those other areas in your life so you can continue to contain more of who he is. Amen? Do you see that? There, that's a souvenir for you. Yeah, take that. Get that cleaned up some other time. Do you see that? Here's what it comes down to. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father will enter. That's a sobering verse. It's sobering because what I believe God's looking for, people come and stand in front of me and say, well, I did all these great things in your name. I cast out devils. I healed the sick. I did great things for you, Lord. He says, but I, what? I never knew you. Do you know what he's really saying? When we stand before him on judgment day, he's looking at us and saying, I'm looking for my DNA. I'm looking for my culture. I'm looking for my fingerprints. Are my fingerprints on you and in you? I've known you because I've handled you. Are God's fingerprints on this church? Are God's fingerprints on you? Because at the end of the day, that's what we're trying to do, isn't it? We want one culture. We want one heart, one family. We want the fingerprints of God, and we want his DNA all over us and all in us. So we stand before him. He goes, I recognize myself. I see me in you. I know you. He doesn't ask about the great exploits you did. He just simply said, I know you. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we come before you. We thank you for this start of the conference. I'm talking about one heart, one culture, one family. Well, that's you, to know your heart, Father, to know your kingdom, to let your culture come, and that we are your family. We are your family. We are your family. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you today? What's the Holy Spirit saying? What's an area in your life that the Holy Spirit wants to challenge you today? Are you using your story? Or is it a bridge to nowhere? Doesn't matter how old or young you are, you have a story. And that story matters. Because the author doesn't write it in vain. He writes it with purpose. God wants to raise up and empower leaders. He wants people to understand their gifts, their ministries, and their callings. Because that's how they come in to the significance of being a part of building his kingdom, building his culture. That's you. There are natural gifts. There are supernatural gifts. You're an encourager. You're a leader. You can't hide that in your pocket. Your Father will come and on that day say, what did you do? You might say, I was faithful. And God's going to say, but were you fruitful? You were faithful, but were you fruitful? Were you actually growing fruit? Were you reproducing fruit? Lord, you love us with an everlasting love. Today, reveal your heart to us once again. Help us to fall in love with you, to know your heart. Reveal your culture to us once again. Help us to understand that we are a part of your family and that we have value in your eyes. We are your sons and daughters, and you have a part for us to play to advance your kingdom, to be a healthy church that reproduces, that is sustainable. So God, have your way and do what only you can do. Bring us into unity with you so that we can truly be one. In Jesus' name.
Thank you. That was incredible. I'm inspired. I get to do my gift and calling right now. I guess I get to be a forefinger because I'm going to tell you what to do. No. If you are part of this and have pre-registered, please, and haven't checked in, please do that at the lobby right now. We're going to do a quick break in just a minute. If you didn't get a hot sheet, looks like this, you need one. And we'd like you to get a name tag. We're going to need those a little later in the day as well. So on our break, get those three things. The hot sheet has the schedule. It has a map of the facility. You'll need that later. It has information on where to hear these recordings and things like that. So pick that up in the lobby. Get a name tag. There's a table outside each of the three doors. Right now, we are going to take a break. It is 11:05. We will start promptly at 11:15 right back here. A little bit of snack stuff out in the lobby. There's waters. Restrooms are out this way. You got 10 minutes.